You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. Buck, how we doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I am good. I'm excited. We're in the middle of the summer. Like, we're about to hit it. June, that means you got a couple more weeks of OTAs, and you got a little vacation time. And before you know it, man, we'll be right back at it.
Question for you, and we got a lot of ground to cover, but just here off the top, as a high school coach, there's been obviously this big focus on 7-on-7 and teams popping up all over the place with these 7-on-7, basically AAU club teams, where it used to be when we were growing up, we did a little bit of 7-on-7 in the off season in the summer, but we did it with our own high school team, and we go up against other high schools, and we got the chance to run our plays with our coaches and our players, and it actually led towards the season. Well, now we've got an explosion of club 7-on-7 here, AAU 7-on-7, whatever you want to call it. Have you had any issues with that? I know, I guess maybe you're the wrong guy to ask because you guys did not throw the ball last year.
No, but I'm
curious what your thoughts are as a coach, what your thoughts are on how this has morphed and changed from being a high school run thing to being a club run thing.
So DJ, going all the way back, so at my previous school, we used to run, we called it a club 7-on-7 team, but it was really all the guys that I would coach. And we would go and compete in those events against club 7-on-7. And so let me explain to people the two differences in 7-on-7. So there's club 7-on-7, which is like AAU. You can take guys from any school and they play on your team and you go represent, you put them in tournaments, and that's your team. So my team would enter under my LLC was Big Play Inc., right? So you put Big Play Inc., that's what we're doing. We got everybody, we're coming in there. Scholastic is your team. You take your team, whatever school you represent, and that team is all the guys that you're coaching in the regular season. So I've never really had an issue with club 7-on-7 because what you have in that realm is you have a lot of trainers. You have a lot of guys to do a lot of good skill work with players on the outside. And sometimes they do the work that sometimes high school coaches can't do. Like, high school coaches may not have the time in the off season to devote to their team. And so those guys go and work with their individual skill trainers and do all that other stuff. And so there's an appreciation for what trainers do. I used to train guys and do all that. So I love that stuff. DBs, wideouts, seeing them work, whatever. There's also a competitive fun element to Club 707 where, hey man, it's trash talking. It's looser. It's different. You see the silly celebrations that go viral, all that other stuff. Like, so you kind of live in a different world. The problem that you can have is if everyone's not speaking the same language, meaning you're learning different techniques and stuff that aren't necessarily applicable to what you do at your school. And so can you take what you learn in the off season and then maybe put it in your pocket when you're playing for your high school coach because your high school coach demands something else? Can you take what you're doing in 707, which becomes a little more me-centric because it's, hey, I'm trying to get exposure. I'm trying to have these things go viral so college coaches can see. I'm trying to put tape. And then can you fold into the team fabric that you have to in high school? And so it's that fine line between those things. And then the final thing is the high school coach and sometimes trainers get into it in terms of who's responsible for helping the player land a scholarship if they get a look. You'll see 100%. Trainers, you'll see trainers take credit for, hey, my guy has 22 offers and my guy has this, but you only deal with them in 707. Whereas the high school coach deals with them when they're playing padded up football, real football. And so it's a lot of that stuff. And I think the best way to do it is if the club coaches and directors can get together with the high school directors and kind of meet in the middle ground where you look, you acknowledge them, you acknowledge the help and assistance that club guys do while also understanding that 707 isn't real football and there's a difference. And so look, they have, it has its value and it serves its purpose, but there's a lot different. There's a huge difference in being a star in the 707 circuit and being a star when it's time to pad it up and play real ball.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And I think you can find good and bad in both sides of it. I think you brought up a good point about, hey, some of these high school coaches might not have the time and in some instances, maybe not even the expertise to help these guys in the off season, the amount of time it's dedicated. And obviously, their kids are paying these guys to mm-hmm. train them, not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. But I always think of, you know, back in the day, it was, okay, we're going to do 7-on-7 so that our team can get better. And then a byproduct of that is we're going to get better individually. But the whole point of it was we're going to rep plays. We're going to get on the same page chemistry-wise, timing-wise with our receivers, our quarterbacks, our DBs, communication. Like, it was all leading to us being a better football team in the fall. And a byproduct was hopefully we all got better individually. Whereas I think the club thing is, we're going to all get you better individually, and then your high school team will benefit from it because you'll be better players, and then you guys will end up being a better team. It's like a little shift in the mindset there.
It is a shift in the mindset, and sometimes, man, you have to coach out some of the individualism that occurs in the 7-on-7 circuit. And so you've seen it because you've come to the Nike stuff. We've done all that. A lot of the stuff that happens at those events, it's about me, me, me. Come look at me.
It's a scholarship. It's offers. That's the goal. It's not winning games. It's not the goal.
I do stuff. And so sometimes when you get your players back and you're back in that team environment, you have to tell them, hey, man, you can't celebrate because we're down 3 touchdowns. Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't jump over and talk about bean topping somebody when you're down. Like, you have to understand the environment, and it's not about you, it's about us and those things. And so you have to take some of those teachable moments and do that. But a lot of it is, and you're talking about it, and I love all this stuff, right? I love looking at the videos that pop up on Twitter and Instagram and all that. Like, I learn sometimes from trainers that are doing things, but it's all in moderation. It's all in understanding what this is. When it comes to it, you want to take things that you learn in the off season, but you want to be able to put them in play in real games. And some of the stuff that you're doing with releases and quick jams at DB, you can't do that in real game. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for the trainers that are able to take the club element, but really give them tools that they can use in the real game. And there's some guys that are good out there when it comes to mentoring and providing exposure and those things. But just like we would say, all coaches aren't created equal. All trainers aren't created equal. And so parents have to make sure that they, I don't want to say check resumes and those things, but understand what you're getting into when you kind of hand off your kid to trainers and even high school coaches, because it's not all the same. You hope that you land with good people and the people that really have your kid's best interests at heart.
Yeah, I always listen to Dave Ramsey, who does financial stuff, right? And we've talked about him before and leadership stuff, but a lot of he's kind of like a financial advice guy. And, he has this thing where he calls them like endorsed local providers. So like if you needed insurance or, mm-hmm. somebody to come in as a financial planner, like they're basically, he's given them like the stamp of approval. I almost wish there was ways where like high school coaches could get together and say, okay, hey, there's 10 different places offering training to our kids, but maybe for our two or three teams, or maybe the five teams in our league, like let's try and get all of the kids from our league to go train at the same facility where we know those guys, we trust them, it's a good group. Then maybe all the kids in our area are going to train at that one place, and that team can have an A, B, C, D, 7-on-7 team. So they have, everybody gets on a team, and it's like a club, like club volleyball you have with girls.
Oh, yeah.
National, then the local and all that kind of stuff.
But you better not call them that. You better not call them ABSD. You got to change it. So
it's color. Let's go the red, blue, white, yellow, whatever.
Yes, you got to do that. You can't, you can't call them the A team, and you got to have different names. So I remember when we would do like the stuff, it would be like, I got the alphas, the betas, the cobras, the deltas. Like I got that. I have the A team, the dream team, the supreme team, like all these other things. You better not say that, oh, these are the good guys. Yeah. You go over to the pile over there. That would not. Yeah.
So the way that in volleyball, it was you had the elite. Then you had the national, which national still sounds good. But then you had the local. It's like, if you're on the local team, hey, good. JV is in your future. Like, that's what you're doing. You're a varsity player. But to me, I just think at least you'd have some connection but with your high school and this. I just don't like the idea of some of these kids going out of their, the high school, going out to someplace else where there's no communication, there's no, understanding.
No, so
trying to build here.
Yeah, so I learned this years ago. Like, it was funny because Modern Day, which is a local powerhouse, like Modern Day, St. John's Bosco, everyone hears about Bike Bosco, everyone knows.
They're literally the number one and number two high school programs in the country and have been for the last 5-6 years.
So Modern Day would basically just make their school team a club team. They had another sponsor label. They would come and they would compete against those guys. And at the time, it would be, Ground Zero and Rare Breed and all these other teams. And they would be out there with their squad. A lot of times what you do, DJ, when it comes to club, is you may have one of your coaches coach with the club team. And so then what that does is he can monitor everything. He can kind of like be the bridge or the liaison between the high school program and the club program and those things. Sometimes club programs want that because if they get one of your high school coaches, they tend to get all your kids.
Yeah.
And so it's all about relationships. Like in anything you talk about, it's relationship building. Like, who do you know in the area? Who are the guys that are good? Who are the guys that you're like, I don't know. All that stuff matters. And so what you want to do is you want to link up to the good clubs and have your guys like, hey, here are the three best clubs in the area. Go play for one of those teams. We know their coaches. We feel good about what they do. They're good at what they do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's we can endorse that. Like,
endorse them. Yeah, you endorse them, and then off you go. Well, I was just curious about that. That went longer than I even thought it would, but it's a fascinating subject because it is the breeding ground for football. It's what's feeding colleges, which is in turn feeding us.
So, let's think about it, in terms of the portal, right? Everyone talks about a transfer portal at the higher ranks. But in high school, there's a bit of a portal where guys kind of go, and that club scene can be very – influential in terms of where kids end up. If you want to have an opportunity to do this, maybe you think about going to this high school. Some of that stuff happens. You don't want it to, but look, it does. And it's just one of those things. I will say this though about 7-on-7, and I love it. And I've always loved it from the time we were kids or whatever. The thing about 7-on-7, whether it's club or scholastic, you have to understand what its purpose. So for quarterbacks, I would say the guys that are coaching quarterbacks, man, you need to be strict on the quarterbacks in terms of making sure their eyes are in the right spot. They're taking drops every time. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I hate, when you go to 7-on-7, the quarterback takes the snap, and before you know it, he's thrown the ball. He's at the line of scrimmage. Hey, dude, there's linemen. There's things just try and make it as realistic as possible to allow that they get quality work, because they're guys that you see that are 7-on-7 stars. But then you put the pass rush, you put other things out there. they don't look the same. And so you just have to make sure that you add an element of realism to the drill so you can make sure your guys get the work that they need.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to do a wide receiver draft. This is a series we've been doing. We've already done quarterbacks. We've done running backs. Today we're going to do wideouts where we go five rounds. We go back and forth here. We draft who we would want on our team next year. Not a lifetime achievement award. Nothing about what you've done in the past. It's what we expect coming up in this upcoming season. So we are going to do the wide receivers today. We'll also do a little hits and misses with the 2018 draft as we work through that. Something we've been continue to do here in the off season. So we're going to get to both of those topics. We're going to get to those right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck, let's get this thing cranking here. We are going to go wide receiver draft for next year. I went first on quarterbacks. You went first on running backs.
It's your turn.
It's my first. It's my turn here. Wideouts. Again, who would you want on your team for the upcoming season? And there's so many good wideouts in this league to choose from. Could go in a million different places. Whew. All right, I'm going to actually go with somebody who didn't have the full season last year, but who I think if I had to go out and play in the park tomorrow, who I'd want on my team, I'm going to take Jamar Chase with my first pick.
Over
some good options, but that's going to be
Jamar Chase, wide receiver one. You want to explain why?
I'll tell you why. I mean, to me, I think it's the physicality to me that separates him. There's other great ones to choose from. You're talking about speed. You're talking about route runners. You're talking about guys that can run after the catch, guys that can go up and get the ball above the rim. I think he can do all those things. And I think the differentiator for me is that I just think he's a little more physical. He's more physical with the ball in his hands. He's going to be more physical for some of those contested catches. I think he's that guy for me in terms of who I think is a pure number one, third down, red zone, any situation. Everybody knows where the ball's going. You can't do anything about it.
You know, and I think the thing about this list, DJ, is we have an opportunity to really define what a number one receiver is. I think sometimes people think that everyone is a number one or everyone has the skill set to be a number one. My estimation, number one receiver is a guy who can command a double team but continue to be productive while dealing with the double team. The number one receiver is the one that when you walk in the stadium, everyone knows the ball is going in his direction and he still finishes the day with eight catches, 100 yards, and those things. And it's a skill set where I would say, to be honest, I don't know if the number one receiver is always the fastest receiver, but he's an outstanding route runner, playmaker. He can do a bunch of different things. He can move the chains. Well, in our parlance, he can move the sticks.
There you go.
And make sure that it happens. And so the fact that Ja'Marr Chase is a number one, I'll be honest. Like, this is funny because I just remember when he was coming out, like, man, he's like, can he do it? Because remember, he didn't play his last season. But to see how productive he's been, to see how dominant he's been, to me is really a testament to the work that he has put in and just how good he really is. And so you take Ja'Marr Chase number one. How about I'm going to go with his former teammate at LSU as number two, and that's Justin Jefferson. And the conversation about Justin Jefferson to me is fascinating because when he was getting drafted, he was coming out. I'll never forget this. Jerry Sullivan, who to me is one of the godfathers at the wide receiver position when it comes to coaching them, he talked about, and I remember I might have had Justin Jefferson 5 on the list, right? And he's like, Buck, you're all wrong. I was like, no, I think I got him right. He was like, I'm telling you, he is so much more than what you think. He can play outside. He can play inside. Even though Ja'Marr Chase is there, he's like, this dude is the dog. He is the one that when it's on the line, you want to make sure you go to him. Justin Jefferson has been as good as advertised, better than advertised when he came into the league. Outstanding route runner, playmaker, can do it outside, inside, can win with a variety of different releases, has enough speed to create the separation to give you the big plays. And then down in the red zone, he has all the tricks to get open. I think people have seen the route that he ran on Stephon Gilmore last year where he ran a whip route and came back and just all of that. The kid is special, man. And you put him in any offense, he's going to find a way to be productive. So right now, you talk about Ja'Marr Chase, one, give me Justin Jefferson, 1A, 1B, however you want to dub it. Those two guys, to me, at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, LSU goes 1 and 2, and I can't argue with that. I wouldn't argue with it. If you had the first pick, and this was the order that you went, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, a little bit of a flavor thing, but both outstanding players. They go 1 and 2 here. So my second pick, again, I mean, this is not like there's some positions where you're like, this guy or that guy. Like, I'm torn here. Yes. There's like 6 or 7 guys that are legit in this conversation as you look at it. But to me, I'm going to think about it from a team builder standpoint, and I'm going to think about it from a scouting report standpoint, an advanced scouting report, which we used to both have to work on back in the day. And I'm thinking about having to talk to your defensive coordinator and say, okay, if you're not scared of this guy, you need to be. You need to be scared of him because he is a problem. He's somebody that's going to be an issue. And that's why I'll go Tyreek Hill, because the game plan has to start when you're playing against the Miami Dolphins. We can't let that thing go over our head to this guy. And even when we don't do that, you're going to see Tua hit him with little slants and little quick hitters. And he's going to get you 15, 20, 40, 60, you name it. He can go get it after the catch. So to me, he'd be the receiver that I think is the most feared receiver in the NFL, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And DJ, his ascension to being one of the top wide receivers in the league to me is really a remarkable story. Because remember, he's more running back, more playmaker. When you watched him coming out, he was a punt returner, gadget guy, first year in Kansas City. Kansas City made him the number one receiver before any of us envisioned him being a number one. And the work that he has done, not only to be the guy that is explosive and fast and those things, but he has become a very polished route runner.
He caught like 117 balls or whatever last year of 1,700 yards.
His stop-start quickness, his burst. And I'll be honest, I think he's scarier now than he ever was the first couple years in the league. His speed is real. His catch and run ability makes him a difference maker. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going to go with Davante Adams with my second pick. And I go with Davante Adams because he is another one that is kind of self-made wide receiver, a guy who has mastered the art of creating separation with his routes. The way that he uses different paces and tempos throughout the early part of his routes to kind of keep defenders on his heels, the way that he wins consistently against press coverage. I think his last year, I can talk about, he was solid with the Raiders, but his last 2 years in Green Bay, when everyone knew Aaron Rodgers was going to find the way to get the ball to 17 and you still couldn't stop it, to me, that's when he went next level. So Davante Adams is the guy that I'm going to talk about near the top. You talk about those four guys that we have up there, Chase, Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams. Look, if we put all those names in a hat and just randomly pick, you'd be happy with any of those guys being the number one receiver for your team.
Yeah, and this is again where I get a chance to maybe go off the reservation a little bit here. Maybe this isn't one that people would have in this spot because there are so many other good players to choose from. But I was doing, digging at some of these numbers to kind of go along with what you see in the tape. And this dude last year had a freaking unbelievably good year. And I feel like somehow it went under the radar, which I don't even know how that's possible considering the team that he plays for. CeeDee Lamb caught 107 balls last year. And when you look at, I went through some of the PFF stuff, explosives, right? So if we're looking at explosive plays, big plays, number one in the league, Tyreek Hill. That's not going to be a surprise. Number two, one ahead of Justin Jefferson was CeeDee Lamb. So you got 48 explosives out of him last year. And Dak, being a little bit up and down, coming back. I think CeeDee Lamb has a monster year. I remember how much we both loved him coming out because of the route running, because of the toughness, the physicality, the run after catch, which is excellent. I'm betting on a guy who's coming off of a really good year. I think he takes it to another level this year. So I'll go CeeDee Lamb with my third pick.
You know, that's an interesting pick. And the thing about CeeDee Lamb that is remarkable, he had 24 catches over 20 yards. And DJ, it's one of those things that you talked about, people not really paying attention to how good he was and what he was able to do. I mean, you're talking about a tremendous playmaker on the perimeter. And you're right, Dak Prescott played with that broken thumb. And so it impacted CeeDee Lamb's numbers. He's a good get. Now, I'm stuck here because this is tough, man. You talk about lots of options. I'm going to continue to go with the old man. And so I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. And Stephon Diggs has been in the league for a while. You saw the impact that he had immediately on Josh Allen when he joined the Buffalo Bills. He continues to be a special playmaker at the position because he's such a creative route runner. 11 touchdowns last year. The guy consistently gets open. He can do it in a few different ways, but he is big time when it comes to being a number one. You have to commit a double team to him. If not, he'll wear you out just with his tempo, his pace, his ability to just get open in space. Big time playmaker. So I'm going to take him with my third pick.
Yeah. His numbers are excellent too. When you look at a lot of the other stuff, I was doing kind of some research on the NGS stuff, on the Next Gen Stats stuff earlier in the week, and just playing around with different receiver things. And I put in a couple different stats where I was looking for, okay, give me guys that lined up outside. So take away all the inside stuff, red zone, like targets and touchdowns on the outside. So you're winning on the outside, which is difficult to do when the space get shrunk down like that. Stephon Diggs, he had ridiculous numbers inside the red zone on the outside. Like that's real deal stuff, man. So no issues with that one there. All right, my fourth pick, I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
Man, yeah. Gosh.
I thought about him. To me, I was kind of going back with him and CeeDee Lamb. But A.J. Brown, here's a number for you as we kind of sort through some of these stats I thought was interesting. When you look at after the catch, Buck, missed tackles forced. Number one, Debo, right, by a significant margin, who we haven't got to yet. Garrett Wilson was number two. He was tied at number two, though, with A.J. Brown, who was four over Jamar Chase. Now, Jamar Chase missed some games, so he probably would have been a little bit higher. But A.J., we know what he can do over the top, going and getting the ball. We saw it with big plays. But to me, it's what he does, catch and run, that makes him special. It's what he was coming out of college. It's what he continues to be. He's a quarterback's best friend because he gives you easy completions and turns into explosive plays.
DJ, it's so funny because I think he's still one of the most slept on wide receivers in the National Football League. So you talked about the next gen stats and the stuff that's below the surface, but I'm going to just look at the regular stats. 1,496 yards. He had 11 touchdowns. He had 23 receptions of 20 plus yards. But I think the stat that is surprising, because when you look at AJ Brown, I don't think most people see him as a burner. He has 6 receptions of over 40 yards. Yeah. And so you combine that big play element with the fact that he had the second most yak yards by a wide receiver. Justin Jefferson was first. He was second. He had 548. So this guy can do it as a, look, man, we talk about 3-level player, short, intermediate, deep. He can do all those things, size, physicality, toughness. He has that. Man, really good player. I think he's, man, I just think people just really sleep on how good and how talented, how impactful he is as a playmaker.
Yeah, we've got some good options left here, man. Like this, there's a lot of good wideouts that aren't going to make this 10 here.
And there are a lot of people that are going to be mad at us because you can talk about like different stuff, and we're trying not to. I feel like somehow I got settled with all the old men, but I'm going to take a young guy. I'm going to go with. Okay. Oh, I said I was going to go with. I guess I can go with Garrett Wilson now. I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. You talk yourself into that one. Nice.
Okay, because we'll see if you pick the guy next. I'm making a note to myself to talk about this guy because this guy has quietly kind of set an NFL record. But like Garrett Wilson, DJ, we've talked about in the last couple of years how we kind of made the move that we wanted the route runner, the craftsman, the skill guy that understands how to run routes, timing, and those things more so than the explosive athlete, because over time we've seen the craftsmen are the ones that get open over and over and over again. Garrett Wilson has already shown that ability. And I am really surprised that as a slender frame guy that he was able to have so much success right away. Well, now you put him with a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who knows how to get the ball to those guys who understand how to get open on their route running ability and creating space. And so Garrett Wilson's number should explode this year. To me, he is a really sleek, slender number one receiver, but he's one that you have to respect because if you leave him one-on-one, he's going to find a way to get open and get and work you over. And the fact that he did it last year with poor quarterback play, what could the numbers look like this year? I think you better get ready for some mind-boggling numbers from Garrett Wilson if Aaron Rodgers is able to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's a one, man. He's a true one. And there are a lot of other good options when we look at what's left here. You think about we talked about Debo. He hasn't gone. Jalen Waddle. You look at the numbers. Amon-Ra St. Brown caught 1 million balls. T. Higgins, who we love. DK Metcalf, we know what the physicality that he brings to the table. I think you get Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Tyler Lockett types are just, you know, premier route runners. I mean, Terry McLaurin, Mike Williams, you can go on and on. D-Hop, we'll see what he does, where he lands, what he looks like this year. But, Buck, I've been watching, just finished up the Ted Lasso series, so watch the series finale on that. One of the things that he always said on there was you got to be a goldfish. You got to have short-term memory, right? You got to be able to change things. I think we're being goldfish in this regard. We have a wide receiver who almost had 2,000 yards a year ago. You know, he was hurt last year. He only played 7 games. Cooper Kupp had over 1,900 yards, and about 140 whatever catches he had with a healthy season and a healthy, you know, quarterback situation. Went on and was in the Super Bowl and was, you know, uncoverable on the biggest moments on the biggest stage to win a championship. So maybe even feels slighted that he's still out there at this point in time. But I've got Cooper Kupp coming back healthy and expecting a monster season from him.
Man, that's so funny, DJ, because you're right. It is so – okay, so we started the conversation off on the podcast about 7-on-7 culture. I would say that what we're seeing now is the result of the 7-on-7 culture for the last decade. The wide receivers that are coming to the National Football League have never been more prepared and more ready to play than at any other time in National Football League history. We're seeing these guys have instant impacts, and the reason they can have impact is because the number of reps that they've taken throughout their high school and collegiate careers has made them ready to be stars immediately in the National Football League. And so Cooper Kupp is a guy that I had a chance to watch. I had a chance not only watch him kind of grow, but I had a chance to watch him teach young guys, so it makes sense for him to be there. Now, You talked about being a goldfish and how quickly we forget things. I think this year we will be reminded how special Calvin Ridley is. And
I'm being
a bit of a homer, but I had an opportunity last week to go watch him. And I am telling you, DJ, he is every bit as good as a top five wide receiver that we have seen. Route running ability, hands, playmaking. He has all of that. I think people forget how good he was having to replace Julio Jones when Julio Jones got hurt and then having to anchor that. I know he's been away from 2 years, but I think by the end of 2023, we'll be talking about Calvin Ridley being one of the premier wide receivers in the league. And he has a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that he's going to help go from good to great. Calvin Ridley's a top five guy. That's why I'm taking him with my last pick.
I like it. I like it. So you can't just go chalk here. We got to go off a little bit, and that's what we did. I think I probably went CeeDee Lamb earlier than people expected. You brought Calvin Ridley back into the discussion. So, I mean, again, still a bunch of good guys that we didn't pick here, but that just tells you where the wide receiver position is. It's healthy right
now. I know, because Mike Evans has 9 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and I couldn't put him in there. He was one of the guys that I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be so mad. But it's not a lifetime achievement award. We're talking about here and now. I think this list with these young guys, man, the young guys certainly understand how to get open, and they have made it happen from day one. I am really impressed with the receivers that continue to come in the league. It's the reps, man. It's the reps from 707, club, scholastic, however you want to do it. They're catching the ball early and often, and because of that, they're coming to the league more polished than ever.
Yep, no doubt. All right, let's as we wrap things up here, let's switch gears. Let's get to a little hits and misses. A little obscure today, Buck, as we get to the 2018 draft. So I'm not liking your chances of getting these, so I'm not going to give you a long time on these because I think they're...
Oh, I got a quick buzzer. I got a quick buzzer.
They're kind of difficult. So I just, you know, I want to... now we can, it's more about the discussion we can have about those players and why they, you know, why they were... slept on or overrated, however you want to look at it here. All right, you ready to roll?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's start with the first one here. This was I'm going to do the two hits. So I'm going to go with the tight end, first of all. And this is a tight end who was a big physical tight end. He was 6'0", 4'5", 256. Gave him a really good grade. He was my 41st overall player. I compared him to Jason Witten. I said he can play in line. You can use him in the slot. You can split him out. He's kind of will wrestle you in the run game with his upper. He's got speed down the seam. He's got some quickness. He can separate. He's got natural hands, a ton of contested catches. I think you've seen this guy's emergence over the last couple of years where he's kind of quietly emerged as one of the premier tight ends in the NFL on one of the premier teams in the NFL.
Ooh, so I'm guessing... Can we go Dallas Goedert from the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe?
I got to give it to you. I didn't know if you had that. I didn't know if you had that one in your bag. Again, I said it was kind of a little bit obscure, but Dallas Goedert has been a really, really good football player. And to me, you look at the value that they got with him and what he's turned out to be. I'm a big Dallas Goedert fan, and I thought the Philadelphia Eagles 100% they got that one right.
So, and thinking about that thing, I think Doug Peterson was still there, obviously. And so it was about the multiple tight end sets. So you think about Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. They basically went and got a clone of Zach Ertz, but maybe with a better blocker. And they took him from a small school, and they were able to put him on the field right away. And we've seen Zach Ertz departs. He ascends to the number one role and continues to have tremendous success. He's a really good football player. And I think what you learn from him, when you're looking at small school guys or guys that are not coming out of the Power Five or Group of Five schools, you're looking for guys that can dominate. And he dominated during his time at South Dakota State. He continued to dominate in the National Football League. He has been a more than solid player for the Philadelphia Eagles and one of the best players at the tight end position in the league.
He was the 49th pick. So he was my 41st guy. It was the 49th pick and has had a nice run on it here for the Eagles. Got paid. All those things, again, lessons to me. I think you mentioned, you know, he should dominate at that level of competition, which he did. And I think he's got some traits. You know, we talk about somebody that's 6'0", 4'5", 256 pounds, could not run because he wasn't healthy, but you could see it on tape. He could really run. So you've got the traits to go along with that position, which is something we've hammered home. All right, this is a corner. This is a corner who was my 16th overall player. He was 5'10", 2", so a little over 5'10", 196 pounds. excellent mirror and match. He played with swagger. He was very comfortable in off coverage. He's a physical tackler. Played a little bit in the slot. He got 69 snaps in the slot in 2016. But a real fluid, easy mover who was tough and competitive. This was my 16th overall player, and he's been one of the best corners in the NFL.
Ooh, 16th overall player. So initially, I was a little tricked. I was thinking Denzel Ward, but how about Jaire Alexander, maybe? Louisville?
You got it. Jaire Alexander. And he, what pick was he, Buck? You've got that in front of
you? He was actually 18.
Yeah. So I had him a couple spots ahead of where he went, and he ended up being a home run pick, as I'm sure Nabil would co-sign there as our resident Packer fan. But the lesson on that one that I took away, go back and say, okay, I really love the movement skills. There's been other guys with movement skills that you love that haven't hit. Buck, the corners that will hit you and are tackle and are tough, and we could say it's a passing mm-hmm. league. I don't care what these guys do against the run. I'm telling you, when you go back and look at the hit rate, soft athletic corners don't have a great hit rate in this league anymore, because you're going to get pulled into the run game. You're going to have to tackle on some of these quick hitting throws that you're going to see every week. If you aren't tough and competitive at corner, I'd be a little bit buyer beware. This dude had the movement skills, but also had the toughness to match it.
Yeah, the toughness is everything. And, you know, we gave a lot of people passes based on the quote unquote prime rule, where they were like, oh, he's a cover corner. He's a cover corner. He's a cover corner. Well, there aren't that many guys that cover well enough that you can ignore the lack of physicality, toughness, and tackling ability. And now it's a prerequisite. You have to be able to tackle on the perimeter, because guys are throwing so many bubble screens and so many one-on-one isolation plays to wide receivers that weigh 200, 215 pounds. You got to be able to get them down. Alexander is not only one of the best cover guys, but he is tenacious when it comes up to tackling and being a factor on the perimeter.
All right, let's get to the misses here. This is a linebacker who was a mid-round pick. I gave him, what equates to like a solid backup with the potential to start, but would have put him, you know, probably in that fifth round range if you look at where I would have had him slotted. 6033, 236. This is someone who played over the slot as a linebacker in college, a little bit on the edge, was a very smooth and fluid mover. Had 7 career interceptions, which should have alerted me. But I say he's a little bit more of a finesse linebacker than a physical linebacker. And he has gone on, after being a mid-round pick, to emerge as, if not the best linebacker in the league. He's in a list of 3 other guys at most. He's been that good.
Wow. See, now, at first I didn't know where we were going, but then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you said best linebacker in the league. So maybe that's Fred Warner?
Fred Warner, Buck, you're on a roll, man. I wonder if everybody listening is getting as high a score on this as you are. You're doing really well in this episode of Hits and Misses.
The wiki page is helping me, like I'm trying to find. Yeah. And then you're giving good clues. So I feel like
that was the beginning. Remember, this was one of those lessons that we collectively talked about and that we tried to adapt, which is – the linebacker position in the NFL right now is a run, cover, hit position. So if you can't cover, you can't play. Like, you can't hide them anymore out there. We talked about corners. Corners have to be more physical than we used to when we scouted them. And linebackers have to be more agile and athletic than we used to need from them at the position 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the thing. You remember, I mean, I just remember sitting in all those meetings we talked about. Can they take on? Can they get off? Can they do that? Man, you don't even get a chance to get into that conversation. If you're not fast and athletic and have the ability to be a factor against a passing game, you really have – I mean, it's hard to have a use for you, because teams are not running the football like that. And so Fred mm-hmm. Warner is one of those new school linebackers that's been able to really come in the league and make an impact right away. And then you think about what they're able to do, the Niners, him and Dre Greenlaw, they athletic, fast, playmaking, productive
linebacker.
And he's
become physical. Like, his body has morphed and changed since he's been in the league. And he is now, he has that physicality to go along with the range and the coverage ability and the intelligence. He always had those things. But, man, he's become a physical player.
And then, DJ, I think some of that is also knowing your room, because I believe peer pressure can impact a player. If you put Fred Warner in a room full of dogs and the rest of your defense is tough, no one who is prideful wants to turn on the tape and be looked at as the weak link when it comes to physicality. And so some of that is knowing the competitiveness of the player, but some of that is also knowing the environment that you've created. If you have a tough, hard-nosed room, you can get players that maybe are not as edgy to play with the edge that you need.
All right, let's get to the last one here. This is another one I was too low on, gave actually the same grade that I gave Fred Warner. But this is a wideout, big, huge wideout, 6'0", 4'5", 227. Plays outside, uses size to win down the red zone, around the goal line, power after the catch, not real sudden, excellent tunnel screens, quick hitters. I wrote tight end question mark with that frame. It took a minute. He's developed into a good wide receiver. He got a nice contract to change teams here in the offseason. He'll be with a quarterback that he's familiar with. So I'll give you that.
You just kind of put it out there. So I'm going to go Iowa State standout. Is that that's where I'm going? You sat there and teed it up. You said he's going to his old quarterback. He got paid. There's only so many guys who got paid in the offseason. Alan Lazard.
I'll make it harder for you next time.
I like it. Like if we were doing a $2,000 pyramid, it would be all right.
So what do we learn? I'll tee it up to you. What do we learn on an evaluation like that one? You just heard when I give you these notes, a lot of them, it's not even really opinion. It's when you watched him, like, this is what he did well. These were the questions. He's not super explosive and fast. What's the lesson there? What do you learn from that?
Well, the lesson that I learned with Alan Lazard, a lot of it has to do with like who he is, but then the quarterback that he played with. Aaron Rodgers makes it where you can take him because he's always going to fit it in the mailbox. And so he allowed him to play to his strengths. I also would say that it depends on what else you have in the wide receiver core. We've talked about building your wide receiver core like a basketball team. So there's a place for the power forward if you have some other guys that can run around and create space and do all that other stuff. And his role. When Alan Lazard came into the league, the expectation wasn't for him to be a number one or even a number two receiver. You're talking about number three, number four. Can he do some other stuff? And so he has been able to find a way to kind of settle into his role. The trick now will be when he goes to the Jets, can he step up a rung of the ladder and become more than what he was with the Packers? Because it's a challenge to go from wide receiver four to wide receiver three, and to go from three to two is another challenge. He doesn't have to be the number one of the Jets because that's Garrett Wilson, but can he be the guy on the backside that when they take Garrett Wilson away, can he be effective enough to make defenses get out of some of the double coverage tactics on Wilson?
Yeah, I think there's also something to be said, smart and tough. Like, he's always going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. The separation is created by the quarterback, not the receiver, but when you have Aaron Rodgers. So that is the point you were making. So I think those are some of the things you can take away from that. But I think you have to say, I'm going to ask, he's going to be a five-hole hitter. We're going to ask him to do these specific things. Like, you have to have that mapped out. If you think he's going to come in there and be your one or maybe even a pure two, We'll see how that works out. And does that translate to all 32 teams? No, I don't think so. But if you have a plan for him and you have a role for him, he's dominated in that role.
Yeah, he certainly is dominated in the role. And a lot of it, DJ, we talk about fit. How do you not only fit in with the culture and the team environment, how do you fit into the scheme? And how do you fit in with the quarterback? How do you fit in with the quarterback that he's playing?
Trust.
Yeah, I mean, it works now because you have Aaron Rodgers coming over, and so they have that chemistry and connection. Would it be the same if someone else is playing quarterback? We'll see what that looks like.
There you go. Well, there you have it, man. There's our hits and misses. We've knocked out a little wide receiver draft. Had a little fun 7-on-7 discussion as well. Any other ground you want to hit here, Buck, as we depart?
No, I think we'll save some of these other discussions for the next time. But I think we eventually will have an Aaron Rodgers tell-all in terms of the stuff that he's kind of airing out.
We were going to do that discussion and it totally slipped my mind.
We'll get to it next time.
We did all our homework on that. And I got sidetracked. I was going to ask you one question on 7-on-7. We went for 10 minutes on 7-on-7 because I was fascinated by it.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to Aaron Rodgers next week. We'll catch up on that one. Some interesting comments from him in an article on The Athletic if you haven't seen it. I would encourage you to do that. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. We will see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.